crazy. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy.
Hey, you're listening to you're listening to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Hey, Lunger, how do you have another cigarette before the show?
I apologize. You know, Chris, we've been away for a few weeks.
Sadly.
It seems like months, really.
I know. And I miss you.
Yeah, me too. I miss you, too.
Thanks.
Right? Is that the way
you say? Sure,
And I'm all excited. I don't want to blow it.
And you know what?
I open my mouth.
And you blew it.
And I blew it.
Yeah. Hey.
Apologies.
And speaking of blowing it, we have to introduce young Shecky Feldstein over to our side here. Shecky, welcome back as well to the show. The boys are back in town. Good, great opening music there.
They are. It's been 3 weeks?
Three weeks.
Feels like three years. You know, every day apart from you guys is agony.
Agony. And ecstasy.
Oh, well, it's something. Anyways.
Agony and ecstasy go together like perfect
harmony. Listen, hey, we got a great show for you. We got lots to talk about. We got to talk about all kinds of great things, movies.
You said that already.
Shows. You know, why you got to be like that?
I don't want to interrupt you, by no means.
You know what? I went to you know what's funny? So I went to this learning seminar because I'm a big professor thing now, right?
Right, you are.
And I went to this learning seminar. They said that when we're teaching, we have to say things three times in order to get it in the students' heads. So we have to say things three times. Three times to get in the students' heads.
Okay. All right. Let's remember that during the show.
So I guess your teachers never said things to you three times, huh, Chris?
They really did not. No, they really didn't.
So, hey, don't touch that dial if you your radio isn't broken.
Don't.
Yeah, we're just repeating.
19. No, 19.
Ourselves.
19. Remember that Paul Hardcastle?
Yeah, no, 19.
I didn't know what was going on.
This is Saigon.
I didn't know what was going on.
This is Saigon. This is Saigon.
All right, listen. All right. Shecky, do we have any sponsors for new this week?
I think you have to be 50 to get that.
How will the
Because young Sheckster here looking at us go, what the hell's wrong with those guys? What are they talking about?
Well, I know you guys usually don't notice it, but I've got that look of dismay every time you talk about something.
I'm not surprised.
True that.
All right. So, all right. What is this? Oh, it's new this week.
We've forgotten.
No. We've been away so long.
I know.
Yeah, and heaven forbid we coordinate a show once in our lives. Yeah.
We don't do that.
Anyway, new this week brought to you by Old Man Winter, who just doesn't know it's in his best interest to give us some summer.
It's very true. Very true.
We're broadcasting from Hamilton, Ontario. Beautiful, lovely Hamilton, Ontario.
Yes.
And it's been like, was -6 yesterday? What was it?
It felt like that.
Yeah, it's cold. Like
it's cold.
Unseasonably
frost
cold.
Frost on the windows.
And we don't like it, and we want it to change.
No, I hate it.
I've written my alderman.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've written your local MP or
MPP.
Good for you.
I'm chummy now with the MPP down at Niagara Falls.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Me
hey.
And, what
like,
was his
like
name
after
again?
You shared the drunk tank together or what?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh. You again.
What are you doing here?
What was that WKRP where at the beginning where they're doing the news? And while admitting he was intoxicated, the senator couldn't explain why he had no pants on or something like that.
Great segue. Speaking of no pants on, Shecky, that's a great introduction to our show. Listen, where first one we got to talk about for new this week is The Fade Out by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. This is a it's back to the hard boiled crime detective story type thing.
Noir.
Crime noir, yes.
Right.
And it's a great looking book. I really enjoyed it. You know what? I don't want to give too much away. It has the same similar feel to Fatale,
right?
You know,
which is a Brubaker
book. Phillips book as well.
Phillips book.
So you know what? This is by Image.
I'll start it with Criminal.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep.
Excuse me, my God, that was rude.
You know, why are you going to do that on the radio?
Sad to say, but passing this past week was, of course, Lauren Bacall, who was a Sirene of the
right.
film noir yes. era. And, of course, remember her, Bogart's wife, To Have and Have Not? She was a 19-year-old yep. co-star and then ended up getting married next year when she was 20. Remember her most famous scene?
In Casablanca? No, not in Casablanca.
No, she wasn't in Casablanca. No. I think it was To Have and Have Not.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
When she's leaving the hotel and she goes, hey, if you need me, just whistle.
Oh, yeah.
And then Sheila goes, you know how to whistle, don't you? Just put your lips together and blow.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And then she walks out and there's Bogey going. Yeah, that was a great scene. Anyway, Lauren Bacall, a goddess.
Yes. And you know what's also a great book is the one I just talked about.
Hey, the Fade Out. Number one.
But thanks for staying with the show.
It's available at your local comic book shop today.
All
check
right.
that out.
Next up on the Hit Parade, we've got...
yeah, say. Check it out, say.
Thanks.
What's the big idea?
I believe that was probably your best impersonation of Edward G. Robinson.
Yeah, Jimmy Cagney.
Jimmy, okay, sure.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, listen, heaven forbid I disrupt show's flow.
Come yeah, on, sorry, going. What would I, yeah, yeah. yeah. Listen, I want to talk about Storm number 2. This is by Greg Pak and Victor Ibanez. You know what? Here's the thing. Here's what I like about this book. This book, and this is for us old-time comic guys, right?
Old-time comic guys.
This book harkens back to when – remember there's an X-Men – remember before they actually had miniseries, before there was big events?
Mm.
They used to have events in the regular titles,
right?
And I'm not just talking about like offshoots that happen to be an add-on. It was just like the event happened in the title. And this was one of the first big ones for Marvel back in the 80s was the Mutant Massacre.
Yes.
And the Mutant Massacre had all these characters like the Morlocks and things like that where they lived in tunnels. They're mutants that lived in tunnels. Those same characters now appearing back in this Storm comic book. Callisto, it was a character.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah, they were.
Right?
Yeah, so, they went 3 issues deep into each, I think, 4 or 5
yeah,
titles.
Yeah, it was like X-Factor,
X-Men, Uncanny. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, it was a great story back then. And I like this, how Storm is kind of revisiting those same characters again. And this is by Greg Pak. I like the book a lot.
Excellent. Oh, Chris, I can see why you like this book. Hey, Storm number 2.
Yep.
Available at your local comic book shop today.
I do like that book a lot, especially the cover. All right. Listen, you know what? You know what book I don't like a lot?
What?
Chris, you never pan books on
you know
show.
What?
No, hey,
not
listen.
Very often. But,
don't bite the hand that feeds you.
I got to do it on this one. This is DC Comics,
mm-hmm.
The Multiversity.
Excuse me?
Exactly. The Multiversity. And you know what? Leave it to DC to I'm gonna be blatant. I'm gonna say it right here,
Chris. They're, don't you pull any punches?
You know
now.
What? They're ripping off Marvel.
Whoa! Ripping those off are strong, Marvel, harsh words.
Ripping off Marvel because you know what? The Multiversity. They are basically DC is going to the well with all their so-called cosmic type stuff.
Oh, nice!
And basically, DC has realized that Marvel's doing awesome cosmic things.
Uh huh.
So you know what? Of course, DC has to follow.
Sure.
Right?
Why not?
Because it's a hit parade right now.
Right.
Everything's doing great. So they're you know what? Even angers me even more is for years DC was trying to say, you know, we're getting away from this whole different multi-universe thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, we only want to have one universe, and then they'd have the Crisis on Infinite Earths and all these different things to kind of combine them back into one, and they split them up again. And now here we have the Multiversity. Now, Walt, you're a learned comic kind of guy.
I sure am.
On the cover of that comic, you have a character that has a giant carrot. Giant carrot. That's
yeah.
right, carrot, the vegetable,
yeah.
on his chest. And it's a rabbit.
That's Rocket Rabbit.
That is Captain Carrot.
Of
the zoo crew.
I know.
I think he's captain of the other rabbits.
So
yeah, you know what? When you showed me this cover, Chris,
yeah.
I laughed,
yeah.
right? Because What do you call those things? Andromorphic?
Anthropological? Yeah, sure.
Okay. when you get the animals to do the things?
Whoa. Hey, I don't know what movies you're watching or making, I should say.
I don't know. I can't get rid of those pop-ups, Chris. I come on my computer. I don't know what the hell I did wrong.
What animals are you getting to do what things, Walt?
Anyway, so this Captain Carrot.
Okay, so hold on. So this
it's a blatant ripoff and an exploitation of
the popularity of Rocket Raccoon.
Rocket Raccoon.
Now
so obvious, it's kind of sickening.
Yes, because they're making him more badass now. Yeah, right? You can see on the cover he's like all dark and broody looking.
Yeah.
Now
he's like Bugs that woke up on the wrong side of bed.
Now here's the thing. You're right. It is like Bugs that woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So, Captain
Abracadabra, Abracapocus, Hocus Cadabra.
So here's the thing. Captain Carrot does actually have his own universe in the DC universes. Like there was a whole universe of animal superheroes, and he comes from that animal superhero universe. Right?
I've seen those films.
So, you know, I don't understand. I think they're trying to blatantly rip off the whole cosmic thing.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, they're trying to. But here's I don't even know if you noticed this. So basically, even on this cover here, is a black Superman.
Yes, I saw that. You know what? You almost didn't see it because you immediately. Here's the problem with the multiverse: is you immediately drawn to Captain. Was Carrot?
Sure, yeah, Captain Carrot.
Because you go, wow, how can they look themselves in the mirror, putting this on so close to the Rocket Raccoon thing?
Yeah, right.
It's just so obvious.
Yes.
It's like, hey, cosmic DC with a furry little thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because
that's what's popular.
We're jealous.
Yeah, we're jealous. Yeah. We want to make our furry little things.
And
cool,
but you're
too.
Right. There is a black Superman.
So is that playing like the multiversity, which I find the most horrendous title of a comic right now? So is that just trying to play off of diversity? So now you have
an African American
Superman. You've got a ripoff of a Marvel character who's furry and in a costume. I mean, the Lantern there is even almost like that guy Drax, right? I mean, he's red and, and whatever. And then there's also a woman, obviously an empowered female character. Like
Shazam.
Shazam type female. Yeah.
Really? Black, it's just rip-offs, Black, but diverse.
Black Adam.
Ooh. Black Adam, yeah.
Female Black Adam. Yeah, you know
Black
what?
Eve.
Black Eve. Oh, I like that. Uh-huh. So, I mean, you know, as I was reading through the book,
read it?
Yeah. Oh. There's like a female Aquaman, and there's all different types of different characters that are obviously different portrayals of different characters in the regular Marvel DC universe, I should say, in the multiverse of the DC canon. And so this is what they're playing on. It's a big cosmic book. I don't like it. I think it's a cheap ripoff of what Marvel's doing with the whole cosmic thing. I'm sure there are a lot of people that will disagree with me.
Hey, listen, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And if you want to see DC's imitation of Marvel, check out Multiverse Number 1 at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Listen, we really should get to some musical interludes here. Smarty, do you have something lined up for us?
You know I always have something good lined up for you there, Chris.
All right. Well, let's hear what you got lined up for us then, and we'll come back after the music interlude.
I know what that was.
What was that?
That was the theme from I was a teenage nymphomaniac.
How did you know? And that was you know, that was during the credits.
Is that what it was? Yeah, I knew it sounded familiar.
Yeah, I know. Well, I have to give you your tape back, but yeah, that was the one. Yeah.
What was that? I don't know what that was.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, you see? Yeah. I did the teenage part, right?
Yeah, you were right. When you first started, I thought you actually knew it.
Oh, Chris, come on. Give your head a shake.
Silly me.
Yeah.
All right,
let's talk about industry news, and we're going to go to our producer, Shecky Feldstein, for a sponsor.
All right, I like it.
All right, industry news part one brought to you by Furry Animal Ripoffs, because if YouTube has taught us anything, it's that you can't resist a cute, cuddly creature, even if it's blatant thievery.
It's very true. Mm-hmm. Very, very true.
All right, Chris, we're going to start the festivities with talking about the movies. Now, we've been AWOL for a few weeks, and in that interim.
Yep. And can you say that again? Interim.
Shecky and yourself, you've independently, separately seen this movie, yes. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, very.
And you both really liked it.
Very important that you said independently.
Yeah. Yes. You didn't go on a guy date.
We did not go on a guy date. Right. Although, you know what? He's a very good looking guy.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
No, what we did was we went to the IMAX show and then we reserved seats next to each other without knowing.
Happened to be next to each other.
It was happenstance.
It was kismet.
And we both went to see it alone, and we just happened to bump elbows elbows.
These things happen.
I had a hole in the bottom of my popcorn
barrel.
Hole? Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of butter on your pants. You got a lot of butter on his pants, I think.
I did.
Oh, I hate stains. When it gets a buttery
pants. Those stains are terrible.
A lot of butter in the old pants.
Yeah. Hey, so this movie's doing pretty good.
What are we talking about?
Great.
Guardians. Oh, right.
Yeah. Stay on target, Chris. Stay on target.
Sorry, okay. So, you're absolutely right.
The movie's doing good. Apparently, it's going to shoot past the Lego Movie and Captain America at the North American box office gate and become probably 2014's best earning domestic movie.
Yeah.
And I got to ask you guys, who the hell saw this in March?
Yeah.
You
know what?
Everybody
honestly
was worried about this.
When they put out the big summer movies, mm-hmm. I saw Captain America and I said that's going to be the one.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else really in high competition. And Captain America, the first one, did great. Avengers, absolutely monster. And I felt like the second one was going to do great as well.
Yeah.
And obviously it did. And even the X-Men movie, Days of Futures Past, I thought that was going to do great, and it did. It didn't beat Captain America, I don't think.
No.
But it did great, and no one gave Guardians, and I didn't even give it a second chance until, I think I saw it a week after it came out.
Uh-huh.
And that's about 2 weeks after all the critics got the advanced
ratings. Yeah.
Right.
And it was nothing but 99% around the board between all these critics. And then I think everyone just finally, the reserve that they had inside of them saying, oh, it's probably going to be bad. It's a Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. I want to see it, but I don't want to spend the $20, you know, when you get your corn
everything.
Yeah.
You know, even when the butter's slopping on your pants, apparently.
It happens.
It happens.
But you know what? Then it made all the woes disappear, and everyone started going. And you know what? I know a few people who've seen it 3 or 4 times already.
Yeah, I want to see it again.
People go back to this movie. This is one of those movies that's reoccurring. And I've heard people saying and comparing to a Star Wars. This is the cosmic movie sort of universe movie that kids 20 years from now, you know, like the parents, will be taking their kids to go and see.
Here's one I want. Let me try to say that again.
Say it again.
Here's what I want to talk to you guys about. You guys are both learned men.
We are?
You guys are both very savvy, knowledgeable people in the comic book industry. And I want to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy, the comic book property.
Yes.
And Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie.
Right.
But not just that. I want to talk about, can we separate the fans of comic books and the fans of movies. So let me try to explain myself. I know I'm not making any sense.
Okay, I think I know what you mean. I think I know what you mean.
So Guardians of the Galaxy, the comic, within the comic culture community, which is very small in terms of the consumption of the Guardians of the Galaxy, we're talking about 50,000-60,000 monthly comics sold, right? And millions of people went to go see this.
Right.
But the point is, for decades, Guardians of the Galaxy was a marginalized C-list property.
Yes, yes.
Right? But somebody smart up at Marvel said, hey, this is a good story in the making. And they're, it's almost what they're doing. Almost what they're doing is they looked at their stable of characters.
Right.
And they disregarded the popularity of them within the comic book community.
Right.
And projected the popularity of them in mass pop culture.
Right.
Which the results here tell me that they said, hey, you know what? The comic book community think these guys are crap and nobody's reading them. But there's a good story here and the public's going to love it.
Yeah, you're right.
And I mean, that just kind of throws a monkey wrench into everything because up until now.
Yeah.
Hear me out.
I'm listening.
Up until now.
I'm still listening.
The big studios. Where are they going? They're going to Spider-Man.
Yep.
They're going to Batman.
Yep.
They're going to Superman.
Yep.
What's the one with the webs?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Yep. Thank
We've
you.
We've already said that one.
I think you said that
Did
one
Did I say that already?
Yeah, that's the first one.
Okay, what's the one? You know the ones.
I feel like George Costanza. Nor sleet, nor snow. That's the first one!
Okay. Okay, so I got tripped up a bit because I got so excited.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
So they're going to this, they're going to that. My point is, the success of this movie throws that formula out the window.
Right, it does.
It's just like, wait a minute, guys. The next person on the pecking order is Flash / Wonder Woman or whatever. We don't have to look at it that way anymore.
No.
Let's look at it from a different perspective like Marvel did and take something and say, hey, wait a minute. How's this going to pan out in a movie?
Marvel is completely setting the stage here because you know what? They've taken characters, D-list characters from the Marvel Universe that when I heard they were making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I was extremely skeptical.
Because you and I are old comic guys.
Right.
Because, and we think hierarchy of in the comic-dom kingdom.
Yes.
Right.
I'm thinking, you know what? They could have done, you know, I don't know, like another Daredevil movie
Defenders,
or something like that. Defenders.
Yeah.
Even
a
Namor movie or
something. Yeah, some big guy from the past. Yeah.
You know, done something like Human Torch.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They went ahead and they did Guardians of the Galaxy. But here's the thing. They took a ragtag bunch of characters, mm-hmm. which is what they call themselves even.
Sure.
But man, the writing in that movie is amazing. And why can't why can't you have a good Wonder Woman movie or a good Flash movie or a good Green Arrow movie or whatever, right? Like, it's all about the writing. Because you know what? That movie, I know you haven't seen it yet, Walt, but I'll tell you, everybody that I've talked to, they said that a lot of people, almost everyone that I've talked to, have said they've even shed tears at that movie because it was so touching.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And when a movie can do that, that's thumbs up in my opinion.
Wow.
Well, I will concur. He was crying on my shoulder.
I was.
Put your head on my
shoulder. No, that was just butter.
Shoulder.
That was just butter.
That butter?
Yeah.
He's got butter everywhere.
Yeah.
I swear, this guy.
Comes out of my tears.
Yeah, nothing but butter.
Wow. Oh, yeah. He cries butter. It's butter.
But you know what? The thing is, Guardians of the Galaxy, basically Marvel can now they can make any movie and we're going to say, hey, you know what? This is going to work.
Hey, listen.
What?
Part and parcel to that.
What's that?
Part and parcel to that. This is how stupid Marvel has become and how asininely influential Marvel has become.
Yep.
Is at the very end in the – what do you call that thing at the end?
The credits?
The bunny egg?
Easter egg. Captain Carrot Egg.
The Captain Carrot Egg. They threw in Howard Duck.
Yes.
And, you know, the comic collecting community just exploded with Howard the Duck, you know, demand for old Howard the Duck books and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just that's the influence these things have right now. And Howard the Duck is somebody that was popular in 76, so popular that it got one of the early Marvel movies or early kind of movies.
Yeah,
it tanked.
Yeah.
And now, you know, it's just like, you remember, okay, here's the thing. Let's stay on this for a second.
Okay.
And let me – what do you call it when you compare something before to something now and you compare – never mind. All right.
A comparison.
What? So remember how DC and everybody else were doing heroes, and they were all doing them the traditional way.
Right.
And then Marvel came along in the 60s and did them the Marvel way.
Right, right. Right.
And so they took stuff, concepts that everybody else had tried and it didn't work. And it worked because the Marvel way.
Right.
Marvel had them in their own big universe. Yeah. And Marvel was crossovering everything.
Yeah.
And so even take a character, you know, always my big example is Thor. You know, I mean, DC had Thor in the late 50s as a guest appeared in a Batman comic.
Right, right, right.
But like,
yeah.
Marvel did Thor, which is a Greek, not Greek, a Norse mythological god.
Yep.
And, you know, basically.
They made it his own.
In culture and in world culture. Yep. You know, anybody could use him. Anybody can do a Thor at any time.
Right.
But Marvel did it the Marvel way, and that's the Thor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and they had that magic in comics in the 60s, whatever character they approached it the Marvel way.
Right.
And it stuck.
Well, because
it's almost like the movies now
are
60s Marvels.
Yeah, it's a great
point. Whatever Marvel does in their Marvel universe and movies, they're doing it the Marvel way in the cinematic universe. Like that bunny rabbit?
Captain Carrot.
You just kind of laugh at it because DC's trying to do things. They can't because it's not the Marvel
way.
That's
a great point because you know what? So in the 60s, so up until Marvel started producing Fantastic Four and those kind of books, bless you.
There you go.
Other comic book companies were putting out superhero books that were just a superhero book. And then all of a sudden Marvel comes around and says, well, let's have a family superhero.
Sure.
Let's have them bicker and fight.
Yeah.
Instead of just having a character that can crawl around like a spider, let's give him teenage problems.
Yeah, let's give him girl problems and job problems.
Yeah.
And what all the kids are going through
in society.
And people
can relate to, right?
Right, yeah.
And so now all of a sudden, so Marvel starts making these books that are relatable to people.
Sure.
Now, same thing with the Marvel movies.
Right.
They're
I can
right.
relate to Groot.
Yeah, but you know what? Mm-hmm, Groot, mm-hmm. Yeah, but hold on. If you saw the movie, you actually could relate to Groot.
I could?
Yes, you could.
Yeah, because I don't understand what he's saying.
Does he have a drinking problem?
He does. Oh. And I can't understand you
he
either.
He enjoys
so.
His soda pop.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Listen, the point is, you're absolutely right.
Yes.
That's
yes,
my point.
So, anyway, all right. I'm not sure what I'm right about.
Wait. Did you actually say Walter?
I don't like saying it very often, but every once in a while, the guy actually has a point.
Okay, listen. Let's jump over quickly before we do another musical interlude. Something near and dear to my heart.
Near and dear. Dear and near.
There is currently, this is Wednesday, currently an auction on eBay.
Yes.
Oh, just a little auction.
Very small.
Yeah. For probably what will become the most valuable comic book of all time.
Right. Now, we're talking about Howard the Duck, number one.
No, yeah. Captain Carrot, number one.
Yeah.
So, Action Comics, number one, 9.0 graded out of 10, which is the highest graded copy. And there is another 9.0. The Nicolas Cage-owned copy of Action Comics, number one, that sold last year for $2.1 million was a 9.0. But the page quality on this one is superior to that one. So, this is technically the highest graded copy.
Okay. So, just to reiterate, because as I'm supposed to do with my new learning system here.
No.
I don't want to say it three times, but just to reiterate, so there's a Action Comics number one that is on eBay right now. It's better than the one that was on eBay before or that was sold before because this one has white pages.
I think you're like every other student Chris has ever taught.
Snoring?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, Chris. What you said. So what? Let me repeat.
Three times now.
This Action Comics number one. So it's at 2 million already.
Right.
It's at 2 million already. So it's about to break the Nicolas Cage copies record. Now, the great story behind this is the owners of this book. Now, who owns this book? Some company.
Some schmuck.
Yeah.
Some schmuck.
So this book, the owner was offered $3 million for this book.
Wow.
$3 million. Hey, bud. I'll give you $3 million for that book.
I offered him $300.
Yeah.
I don't. You know what?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it on eBay because I guarantee you I'm going to get more.
Yeah.
So this is the cool part now because there's There's drama in this now. Right. There's tension. There's a story behind it. There's, you know, are you going to pick what's behind door number one?
Yeah.
Or door number two, right? Yeah, there's that whole thing that I make the right choice.
You certainly can't just pull it off eBay and decide, oh, well, you know what? It's not going for as much as I want.
Yeah.
Reserve bid of $2.9 million.
Exactly.
Well, just not off topic. Quite, but why wouldn't you go on to like Comic Link or something like that with this? Why would you go to eBay?
I don't know.
I think there's probably a wider audience on eBay than there is.
Yeah, and I think maybe, I don't know. Comic Link, Comic Connect, Heritage Auctions. Yeah. Those are the three massive. I think, though, the book itself will generate the interest, right? So everybody that's anybody.
Yeah, but why would, yeah, it's a great point.
Yeah, so.
Check, you actually have a good point.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And so, I bring this up. Because my thought is eBay is such a global sort of universe of availability to the general market. People have sold farts in a jar on eBay.
That is true, yeah.
So where I'm going
Chris,
from
yours
this,
just came into my P.O. box in Niagara.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I got to pick that up.
Yeah, you might want to get checked out there, Chris.
Yeah.
But my point with this is, though, it's so generic and open. So I want to tell you, as of last night – this book was just over $2 million, right? Uh-huh. And I did check it up just because you told me to, Walt.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? I typed in Action Comics, number one, right? And I did price highest first to lowest.
Yeah.
So it was at just over $2 million. And you know what was in second place?
What?
Was a buy it now at $1 million that read Action Comics 9.0 or Action Comics 1 9.0 has nothing on Zoltar from the movie Big, and it's the actual dummy, or it's like the machine, the what is it, the brain
fortune
psychic,
teller,
or
the fortune teller
from the movie Big.
Uh-huh.
Some guy's selling it, but he copy and pasted in the title so that when you search Action Comics 1, and if you do it by price highest so that you find the exact one, you want, it's right underneath it with a big picture of the Zoltar. It's like you can leech off of that.
Wow, that is cool.
Yeah, I like it. I like that.
And
you know what I'm pissed off about?
What's that?
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Well, what were you going to do, though?
I don't
know.
Serbian I got some
folk songs.
No, I got Captain
CD?
Carrots out the wazoo in the basement,
okay,
buddy.
Captain Carrots,
I could be selling those for $5,000 a pop right now.
Fair enough. Anyway.
Well, Action Comics 1. Captain Carrot's first appearance.
I found it ridiculously hilarious.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah,
all right, listen, let's...
If you
have $3 million, you can go onto eBay and buy yourself an Action 1.
Well, right. Well, you know what?
You know what's cool? No, this is what I dare... But please don't take my advice. Disclaimer.
Yeah.
But for the daring, what you should do is throw in the next bid. So you can say for 5 minutes or 10 hours, you were the winning bidder of an Action Comics number one at $2.37 million.
Now, I like that.
Now, let me riddle you this. Just
riddle me this.
Little factotor.
Hey, Walt. So I won that book.
Yeah. $3 million.
So I'm figuring maybe, you know, you had something to do with it. Delete.
Hey, so here's my question. If somebody actually... If somebody actually bought that book, could they actually make any money on it anytime soon?
Sure could. Sure.
Hey, soon.
Sure they could.
Like a month from now? Like buy it now and then try to sell it again a month from now and be like
know.
Even higher?
To a very private market.
Private market.
Fat cats don't waste time on eBay.
Exactly.
You know?
I bid higher.
No. This is my thing, though, okay?
Remember that? Remember Barney Rubble was on The Price is Right? They come up with a bid, and it's Barney Rubble's turn to bid, and the audience is going higher, and Barney's all nervous. Goes, I bid higher. That's so stupid. Anyway,
why don't you listen to what I'm going to say right now? Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
First of all,
because heaven forbid I cut you off.
Yeah. Sorry.
You got 4 days left in the auction. It's at just a sliver over $2 million.
A hair over $2 million.
Yeah, it might not even make $3 million.
I have a feeling it will. Hey, let's call this because we're going
to
do a show next week.
That's what I'm saying.
Listen to me now and hear me later. Okay, let's call it.
Okay,
let's call it price.
What do you think it's going to
around the horn
what's
here?
It's going to end it at
around the horn. Hold on. Should we write this down on a piece of paper?
We have to submit.
I don't want to cheat off my answer. This isn't.
Yeah, I don't want to listen. I don't want to listen to the show for half an hour to
figure
out what you're
saying. You're not going $1 over my number.
Tell me right now what you think it's going to be.
Hey, write it down. Write it down quickly. Write it down quickly.
Why am I? Why do I have to write it down?
No, because then we can't go one over.
Because there's no dollar. I'm going to pick a dollar over what my number is.
I need a pen.
Okay, quickly. Okay. And so, anyway, the weather has been really pleasant here in Hamilton, Ontario today.
A little bit cool. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, it's been cool. But pleasant.
No. It's not lying. Chilly and miserable.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So, I bid $3,363,000.
I put $3,200,000 and then $1
all right.
at the end of the
I bid $3,250,000.
Wow.
You just got in over me.
Wow, look at I'm the high guy.
So
Hi guy.
We all agree we think it's gonna go over $3 million.
Exactly.
But listen to me right now. Because
listen
you put it
now.
On eBay, right? You're getting hit with probably 5% of a PayPal credit card or some sort. I don't even know how they're going to exchange money.
10% altogether.
Yeah, between eBay and that.
Sure.
So what I'm saying, though, is if it doesn't get over, let's say, 3,000.
Yeah, 3.3.
Anyway, you have to think this guy who got offered money direct, $3 million, when you take the 10%, if he doesn't get $3.3 million, he's actually not making as much.
Listen,
got.
We have to thank this guy because without him, this
we'd
lame,
have no show.
This lame ass bit we're doing right now wouldn't have gone through.
All right. All right.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
goodness.
Let's do it.
We gotta get a musical
Swan
interlude
song
going
this.
Here. Yeah. Come on. So, Smarty, do you have anything ready for
this
us?
This one's
here?
Just for Walt.
Just for
and
Walt.
We call it Get 'em, Boys.
All right, let's hear it.
Guys, I've said it before. I'll say it again. There's nothing better than Krantz.
No, there really isn't. Krantz rules.
Krantz rules.
Speaking of ruling.
Oh, yeah.
You know what doesn't rule is sometimes the way DC decides to make movies.
Mm.
Or Warner Brothers, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Let's get into the second half of Industry News brought to you by Shecky.
Brought to you by Nicolas Cage, who is willing to sell every piece of Ghost Rider memorabilia just to get his 9.0 Action 1 back.
As he should, too,
he
really.
Does.
Yeah.
Hey,
listen,
yeah.
So, listen, so we've talked a lot about Marvel and the movie-making business and that kind of thing. Well, it appears that when it comes to making superhero movies, it seems like there's a bit of a kerfuffle going on because Warner Brothers has recently announced five movie debuts for undesignated films between 2016 and 2020.
Yo, Owen, now, you read that wrong. Nine announced movie debuts. You said five.
Didn't I say nine?
I don't listen to either of you. I don't know why you're looking
tomato,
at me.
Tomato, potato,
let's
potato.
Call the whole thing
let's
off.
Call the whole thing listen, off. Hey,
wait, nine it is. Nyan.
Nyan.
But they have not actually decided what the movies are or hired directors or writers or anything like that.
Yes. Yeah, they're just saying, hey, what they're saying is, Chris.
What are they saying, Walt?
They're saying is, this is like an era. You remember, hey, Chris, remember? Remember in the 60s when the rock and roll and the Beatles invasion?
The hip-hop and the boo-wop.
No, the rock and roll and the Beatles invasion. And basically, if you had a mop head haircut and you played three chords on the guitar,
you could make a
you
fortune.
You could make a fortune. And the record companies, all these guys, hey, JB, chomping at their cigars, saying, I got these new Dick Duck and the Dorks. And they're really good.
I love that band.
They can play a tune.
I got every single one of those albums.
And they're British lads, so they're perfect.
They're perfect,
right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that now with the rush, the gold rush that is comic book movies.
Yeah.
So what they're just like just retards right now going, we've claimed the first weekend in June. We've claimed the first weekend in July. We've claimed the first weekend up until 2094.
Yes,
right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Because they don't even have a movie yet.
They got nothing.
They got nothing.
No.
Right? But they're going, man, we got to claim that weekend because we'll think of something in the meantime.
We want to make sure that Disney
doesn't
get it.
We got the, what's the rabbit again called?
Cosmic Carrot. Captain Carrot.
Yeah. You know, so this is how crazy it is right now. DC goes ahead, Warner's goes ahead, and books 9 weekends.
Yeah.
Saying,
without having any material.
Without having any material.
Never got a dinner.
Yeah. Sort of like Red Buttons going up on the host.
You know how we had that that discussion on the One Show a couple months ago where Marvel did that ad? It was almost like
a commercial. I can't remember yesterday.
Yeah. It was like a commercial for like an hour on TV, whatever like main TV it was, and it was just talking about the projects they had coming out.
Yes.
Right.
They both, I'm sure, have submitted, and I'm sure they both have fought tooth and nail to jostle their way.
Jostle.
For the next... But I'm sure they're not competing head-on the same weekend because it doesn't work well for either of them to do that.
Yes, so they're getting gentleman agreements
Agreements.
But so part and parcel to this story is, so this is all crazy, but one of those movies, and this is how nuts it is too, one of those movies of the nine,
yes,
apparently Warner's is doing, is the Aquaman.
Of the nine superheroes to rule them all.
Nine superheroes, eight maids of milking, seven.
Just...
I don't know if I got that right, but
sure,
it's close.
No. It was as
eight
right
maids
as it could
of milking,
be.
Seven swans of swimming,
six superheroes,
so nine superheroes.
Brings me right back to family holiday dinners.
Yeah, it really does.
Nice. So one of them is Aquaman, which Marty so prophetically played earlier.
Yes,
Aquaman theme.
Yes.
It's almost like I know things. Well,
yeah, it's almost like you read this script.
Listen,
Aquaman, so the, one of them is going to be the Aquaman.
Did he actually
movie.
Play the Aquaman song?
Did he?
Did you play that? I wasn't listening to you.
Yeah, if you didn't listen, then you don't deserve to be told.
Yes.
What does that even mean?
Shame on you.
I don't even know what that means.
Anyway, so the cool thing about this Aquaman, so they've announced this Aquaman movie. I think they got Arnold Schwarzenegger to play
Jason Momoa. Who has played, also played Conan.
Oh, right, that's why I think
and
I got
also
Arnold.
Played,
he's in, Game of Thrones.
Yes, he plays the Dothraki.
Yes.
I don't think he's a good Aquaman. Aquaman's supposed to be blonde.
No.
And lean.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
he's supposed to be blonde and lean. This guy
but
is brunette
the times are changing.
Balding.
In the 60s DC universe, everybody was blonde, except maybe Superman.
Yeah, it's true. And Batman.
Was
and
DC Batman. Owned by the Germans?
And Wonder Woman. Perhaps so. Oh. And Aquaman was maybe, mein Herr Aquaman. Guten Tag, Aquaman.
Guten Tag, wie geht's?
So Aquaman was a U-boat captain.
Was his name then Friedrich?
who was sunk by a British minesweeper. I say.
Octoliva.
I say. There's a U-boat there, old chap. So what happened was they sunk the U-boat, but some sort of gamma radiation hit the captain, and he morphed into Aquaman.
You know what Aquaman.
This is what
I
like
hear. That.
On the street, this is what I hear.
That's what
he went down to his cabin.
He went
down. Because he had to.
It happens.
You have to go down and
sometimes.
He had a few schnapses.
Yeah,
right?
The old peach schnapps.
But they were gamma ray infused schnapses,
mm-hmm.
and he became the.
Hell Aquaman.
Yeah. So DC, what's the company called again? That's DC's parent company.
Warner Brothers.
They're so excited about Hell Aquaman that they've hired two writers. To write concurrent scripts, because the regular process of hiring a writer said, "Wow, this crap, this garbage, get out of my office.
You can't write this crap."
So now they got two writers. They've hired two independent writers.
Yeah.
And they're not allowed to know what each other's doing, which I find
secret.
Cool. Secret. Right.
Secret laboratory.
Yeah. And then they're going to get the one and they're going to weigh it. I would love to be at that meeting.
Yeah.
All right. You're reading the two scripts. I've never read so much garbage in my life. And the other guys go, "What are you talking about? That's brilliant.
What are you talking about?
What are you, a moron?
Read the next one. It's even worse.
It's even worse. Well, we got to pick one of these dumb things. Which one do we pick? How about JB? Why don't we have a scotch and flip a coin? Let's do that.
I know we're all on that trolley right now, but you know what?
What trolley? The scotch?
No. On the trolley of bashing ideas by a big corporate
Aquaman.
Giant.
Hair Aquaman.
I want to see that.
So, Hair Aquaman... You know what, though? The idea to actually have multiple writers now, because listen, all these big movies with all the CGI, they're $200 million plus budget anyway, right?
Yeah, what's 100? What's 10
grand
for a writer?
So what I'm saying is, if you get five writers, or however
many
writers.
You get 20 then.
If you're paying even for a top-end writer $100,000 for a month of their time to write a script, you may as well get a few to just test out the waters and see and pick and choose.
Point.
The budget's so big anyway, what does it matter?
You know what? Just shoot my bit down right away, Marty, with common sense and insight.
No, I'm finding fact to what you're saying, though. Like, I can justify that if I were
anyways,
a big studio.
Anyways. All right. You're right, and you're wrong.
Right.
Anyways. I want to see a Hair Aquaman movie coming out sometime soon. However, but here's my point. Aquaman, the general public believes that Aquaman is a
douche.
Yes, is a DB. Is a D-bag.
Yeah,
like a feminine product.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking.
We
about.
We didn't
right?
want to go there, Marty. Anyway, he's young.
I know he's young. Okay. So, anyways, because in the 60s and 70s. The DC produced Aquaman cartoons, and they were super popular.
Yeah, they were.
However, it kind of gave people the idea that basically Aquaman, all Aquaman does is talk to fish. And you know what? They even tried to come up with a video game back in like the late 1990s. Xbox had an Aquaman video game, and it was either swim or talk to fish.
Right.
Swim, talk to fish.
Swim.
So yeah, it was terrible video game. And you know what? I'm not so sure the movie's going to translate. I know what they're going to try. They're going to try to pump it up, and that's probably
pump it up. Pump up the jam. Pump your body. Pump it up. That's all I know.
Thank goodness. Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Hail Momoa. To play Aquaman because they want to beef him up a bit, right?
Right. So. Okay. So hold on. Let's back it up a bit.
Beep, 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 beep. Yep.
Remember what we were talking about with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Remember what we were talking about, how Marvel went, said, "I don't give two flying monkeys about what the comic book community thinks.
About Iron Man.
About the Guardians of the Galaxy. We're going to make a movie." And Billy Bob Schmo...
Yep.
Who's working down at the car wash?
Yeah,
who's never read a comic in his flipping life?
He's gonna love it.
So this pop culture perception of Aquaman, these pretentious little Aquaman haters. Who cares about them?
True.
Why be afraid of what a sliver of the population that was actually watching Super Friends?
Right.
Thinks about Aquaman.
Back in the 60s.
Back in the 60s and early 70s, right? So Aquaman's a pretty cool premise. Here's a guy who sleeps with the fishes and wakes up every morning.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah,
here's a guy that, you know, is like, it's a pretty cool concept when you kind of think about it. And he's going to be in the Justice League thing. Yep. He's going to have his own movie. Why wouldn't this work? If flipping... help me out here. What's that movie again? Marvel.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If that did well,
yeah.
Why couldn't Aquaman?
It's true. It's very true. It's very. You know what? You're absolutely 100%.
That's twice. Hey, Shecky, that's twice in the show. Yeah. Mr. Professor here said I was correct.
Yeah. You if are. It happens a third time, I'm afraid the ceiling's going to fall down on top of us. Yeah.
So you know what's funny is I got a quick anecdote here. So I was traveling down to the United States with a buddy of mine, and
Driving into Los Angeles.
No, we're just going to Detroit. Anyways,
bringing in a couple of keys.
Who's going to Detroit?
Detroit Comic Con.
Ah.
Oh, you went?
Yeah.
Nah, a couple years. A few years ago.
All right.
Yeah, we've been together, don't you worry.
Yes, we have.
Well. Well.
I like how you said that all sultry like. Yes, we have, Chris.
Well, let's hear his story.
Anyways, going through customs, you know, tell a customs guy, you know, it's always nerve wracking going through customs, even when you have nothing to be nervous about.
Especially right? with all that. Contraband.
Comic books?
Comic books. Stuck.
So we're going through customs, and the guy says, where are you going? I said, comic book convention. He looks at us. He's like, oh, yeah. So who's your favorite comic book character? And I said, well, Captain America. Right? He's actually
– Is that going across?
Yeah, going across. Into
Perfect
the
thing
right.
to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right? So then he turns to my buddy, and he says, so who's your favorite comic book character? And he says, Aquaman. He's like, Aquaman? That guy sucks.
Oh,
he basically laughed at us. Yeah. Like, yeah, keep going, nerds.
Keep going, morons.
Oh, that's when he should have been. Aquaman is coming to get you, my friend.
Yeah,
no,
mine here.
Yeah, hey, Aquaman.
Oh, you slighted Aquaman.
He will come and get you.
All right, listen. We do we need a musical
the
interlude?
The son and kinder of Aquaman.
I think we need a quick musical interlude. Then I want to talk about comic shows.
Fan Expo.
All right, here we go. What do you got lined up for us there, Shexter?
A great theme song. Never played this song ever, but we need to play it.
Mm. All right, well, let's hear it. Great movie. Great movie.
Oh,
I love that movie.
Yeah, what
love
was that movie?
Shrek 2. Keep on Shrekking.
Movie. Yeah, keep on Shrekking.
Yeah.
That was a great movie. Didn't who starred in that?
Fred Astaire.
Fred, I love him, Fred Astaire.
He's a good man, that Fred Astaire.
That guy can do some soft shoe.
Soft shoe, yes. Listen, we're running out of time. I know it's. I don't know how this happens. We're going to talk about...
Chris, when you and I are together, time flies.
It really does. Hey, why did Timmy throw his clock out the window?
I don't know.
He wanted to see time fly.
That's terrible.
That's just really
bad. I hope
really
you don't
bad.
Tell it to your students. Yeah. Dear God.
Hi, class.
Yeah.
I'm Professor Chris Owen.
Hi.
And you
I'm
know what?
Professor Owen.
Yeah.
Professor Owen, can you?
And you will tell a joke.
Yeah. And you'll find in my class that time flies. Oh, by the way.
Believe me, no one has ever said that time flies in my class.
I do believe. All right.
Let's, you know what? Last part of industry news brought to you by...
Chicky's really trying to work hard and get us some money.
It's really going
And you keep interrupting
right?
him
sorry.
And doing stupid things. Leave the guy alone.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Chicky.
I'm
really sorry for interrupting.
Brought to you by Mein Herr Aquaman, the video game, where you score bonus points for every 50th fish you talk to.
Oh, I like that.
Nice.
That's good. Do you talk to them in German?
Yeah.
You know what? Accents are always preferred.
Hey!
I believe that.
Not my boat. You boat?
And you say my jokes are bad? okay, listen.
That was more of an observation.
Yeah, it's still terrible.
Yeah, let's
what are
talk
we talking about guys?
Let's talk about Fan Expo.
Yeah,
let's
talk about Fan Expo.
Now, we're broadcasting, by the way, on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com.
Yes.
Shecky Feldstein.
Yes, sir.
Myself and Chris Owen. Will be appearing at the Sands this weekend. And the weekend after, we'll be at the
Fan Expo
in Toronto. Yes. We'll be flying up from Vegas. And we'll be there Friday all day.
Yep.
So at the Big B Comics booth, booth 928.
Yes. We will be there.
A South Building, Metro Toronto Convention Center. We will be there. So come and say hi. And come and just, I don't know, yell at us or whatever.
Sure, whatever you want.
But it'd be a great time right now to talk about why people listening to the show within a reasonable driving distance should come to the Fan Expo.
You know, okay, so first of all, the Fan Expo is Canada's premier pop culture event. We can't even call it a comic book event anymore.
Yeah.
It's far beyond that. It is now a it's a pop culture phenomenon. You talking about...
phenomenon. Phenomenon.
All right. Anyways, talking about science fiction, talking about anime, talking about horror, comic books, anything that has to do with, you know, the greater stuff that pop culture is all about, it's at this show. So your Doctor Who fans, your Trekkies, your Ranma One Half fans, your Freddy Krueger fans, your Doctor Strange.
Doctor Disc.
Sure. I don't know who that is, but sure.
Dr. Detroit. You got you want doctors.
You want doctors. They're at the show.
They're at the show.
Listen, but here's the thing. So next week we're going to talk more about. We like to do it at least once a year. We want to do how to prepare yourself for the show. We're going to talk about that next week.
Next week's show should be.
It's pretty much devoted to Fan Expo.
To Fan Expo and preparing for the show.
Yeah. Right. But you know what?
That doesn't mean that listeners in the greater world area.
Greater world.
Yeah, that are not close to Toronto shouldn't listen to next week's show because these skills that we're going to teach and lessons that we're going to deliver are transferable.
To any show.
To any show.
They really are. Right. They really are.
And even in your own home when you get home to the wife, these skills are transferable.
How to avoid crowds.
How to avoid situations.
Bartering situations.
Messy situations. You know, so we're here to help.
So let's say, and you know what? It's a very, very good point because you know what? Let's say you wanted to buy a comic at the show.
Right.
And the same thing goes if you want to go out for the night and drink with the buddies.
Drink with
buy some drapes.
Right. Or get out those butter stains from the pants. It doesn't matter.
You got a lot of butter stains, pal.
Well, you know, I tried to wipe them out.
Don't wipe.
Don't. You
know. Oh, that's
dab.
Oh,
you got a blot.
You got a blot.
I just rubbed really hard to try to get them out.
But. Yeah. Okay. So I concur with the Fan Expo and all cons.
What are the dates for the Fan Expo, Walt?
Ah, Chris, you got me.
It's next Thursday, was that 18?
No, sorry.
31st is the Sunday. So 30th is the Saturday. 29th is the Friday. 28th, the show opens on the Thursday.
So it's a four-day show.
4 day, 28th to 31st.
So now, if you're planning on going all 4 days, be prepared to do a lot of walking and waiting in lines.
The best
lunch.
The best deals. Honestly, best deals by far are at the Big B booth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Are you allowed to say that on air?
No.
Oh, okay.
So it's a great show. You have to come. You have to enjoy. And it's – you know what I hate? This is what I hate.
What do you hate, Walt?
Okay, I'm going to tell you guys what I hate.
Yeah. Tell me what you hate.
Couple old-time comic guys.
Who,
a couple
us?
Comic guys. No, that I know, right? I'm not going to name any names. Bill.
But you'll tell us after the show, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah. Fred.
John. Bitterman.
Oh, yeah.
So these guys are all going, I don't know. That's a lot of money to go and look for some comics. Right? It's like, no, you idiot. Not idiot. You misguided soul.
Oh, well, yeah. Right. It's very kind of you.
It's not about paying the money to go and look for comics.
No.
It's about partaking in the thing that's an important part of your life.
That's right.
It's not, I want to pay $60. Bucks. If I only buy a book for $40, then I paid $100 for it. It's only worth $35, especially if I buy it from Big B, it's only worth $10.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
So,
You know what?
It's not about that, though.
People who go to Canada's Wonderland spend $60 for a day there.
Uh-huh.
at the end of the day, you don't have tangible goods to show for it. You have enjoyment of a
thank
day.
Thank you, Shecky.
This is
an
entertainment value. I mean, you may spend up to $50, you know, by the time you pay to get in and, you know, your transit tickets or whatever. But you know what? Okay, here's my thing.
Here's the thing.
You're going to spend $15 to go see a movie for 2 hours.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You can go to a Fan Expo show for
$40. It might cost you $100, Chris, with the gas, parking, and whatever.
But you know what? You're going to get far more entertainment value out of it.
Yeah.
You are.
Like as many hours as you can stand inside the building.
Yeah,
really.
That's right.
Listen, and I often say, this is one of my criterions, is if you ever want to feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
Oh boy!
Absolutely, go to one of these shows.
I'm just kidding. No, everybody's there is beautiful. It's all beautiful people. It's all people. And look, and don't be a tightwad. Not in terms of the wallet, in terms of the spirit.
Absolutely.
Okay?
You know what?
Look around you and see the masses just enjoying themselves, enjoying life, immersing themselves in the thing they love, and just let going with the flow. And you be one of them.
Right. Okay. You know what? Sadly, I got to cut everybody off here. We're past our time limit.
Hey, Comic Culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein, engineered by Chris Owen.
It is?
Sure is. Today it
all
was.
All right. And
you can catch us at comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. We're always on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. We will see you next week.
Yeah. Please go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.